we're still holding on the Mem Ches Amud Beis. Just quickly to review what the Gemara was discussing. The first line of the mission, the first line of the Perek said that Nizak and Shaman Lehen Be'idis, that when you're paying for damages that you've done, you have to pay from the Idis, from the best properties. So the Mishnah had labeled that as a din that comes about Mipnei Tikkun Olam. So the Gemara right away asked, what do you mean? That's not Tikkun Olam, that's a din da Raisa. Pasuk says, Metav Sadehu, Metav Karmu Yishalim, that clearly it's a din da Raisa. It's not only a Tikkun Olam, some sort of Takanami Drabanan. So the Gemara had said that no, it is a din da'oraisa that you pay me meitav, but we're assuming, like Rabbi Yishmael, that on a da'oraisa level, whose meitav would you figure out? You look at the nizik, the one who was damaged, and say, okay, I'll pay him from the best of his stuff. But the Rabbanan came along afterwards, and Mepnei Tikkun Olam made a takana that if the mazik has a valuable property, that you pay from the most valuable stuff of the mazik, even if it's more valuable than the most valuable properties of the nizik. So you pay from the highest quality properties of even the mazik, that's Mepnei Tikkun Olam. But the actual din that you pay me meitav of the nizik's meitav is certainly a din da'oraisa. So the Gemara now is just going to explore where we know Rabbi Shmuel's point of view from. How did Rabbi Shmuel's point of view come about to being explained in this way? So it says Gemara, my Rabbi Shmuel, about 10 lines before the end of the page, my Rabbi Shmuel, detanya, meitav sadehu, meitav karmo yishalim, meitav sadehu shal nizik, meitav karmo shal nizik, div Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel holds the meitav is the meitav of the nizik, the best properties of the one who was damaged. Rabbi Akiva Omer, loba kasuv el ligvos the nizakin min idis vekal v'chomer lahegdish. Rabbi Akiva will say, no, you're just supposed to pay from the idis and for when it comes to damages, and for sure when it comes to hegdish that you pay from the idis, which the Gemara will explain that last part of Rabbi Akiva's statement later on. But apparently the Machlokas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, Rashi explains at this point, is understood to mean that according to Rabbi Yishmael, if my animal goes in and damages your property, no matter what row of property, let's say you have many rows of grain, and he goes and he damages a row of grain, probably doesn't grow in rows, but whatever, and he damages a row of produce. So I go, and no matter what level quality he damaged, I'm going to pay you the value of your highest quality row, which will turn out that I'm actually paying you more than I damaged. I damaged this, you know, one row, which was, let's say, of average quality, and I'm going to pay you the value of your highest quality row, which is obviously a lot more money. That's Rabbi Shmuel's point of view. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, you're supposed to pay the exact value of what you damaged. We're just discussing what kind of field you're going to use as payment. Are you going to use a higher quality field whereby you'd pay less of it, you'd give less of it, because obviously it has higher value for per square inch, so you'd give less of it? Or are you going to use a lesser quality field where you would have to give a lot more? And people obviously prefer quality over quantity, so people obviously would prefer the value coming within the highest quality field, even though at the end of the day, it's all going to be worth the same amount of money. But that's Rabbi Akiva's point of view, that it's all going to be the same amount of money. You're going to pay exactly what you damaged. Now, given this understanding of Rabbi Yishmael's point of view, that when we say we evaluate based on the nizik, you're going to be paying more than you actually damaged. Rabbi Shmuel, achal shmeina mishalim shmeina, achal chusha mishalim shmeina. According to Rabbi Shmuel, I don't understand. If the animal eats your highest quality stuff, so then he's going to have to pay the high quality stuff. But if he eats your lowest quality stuff, he should also have to pay the highest quality stuff. Why should that be the case? Now, the way the Gemara phrases the question bothers the Rishonim. Tosfos over here and the Ritva are bothered. What's really the kasha over here? The kasha is the second half of the sentence. Achal kusha mishalim shmena. Why do we need to introduce it by saying achal shmena mishalim shmena? That's fair. That's okay. That achal shmena mishalim shmena. Why is that part of the question? So Tosfos gives two approaches. One approach Tosfos has is that bishlama achal shmena mishalim shmena. It's as if the Gemara is saying, I understand very well if achal shmeina mishalim shmeina, that makes sense. Ela achal klusha may mishalim shmeina, meaning eino chinami. The question really starts with the second half of the sentence. The first part is not part of the question, it's part of the, it's just a way of introducing the question by saying, now this would make sense. But why does that make sense? Why is achal klusha mishalim shmeina? Then Tosfos gives a different pshat, inami hachi perusho. Kivan deba achal shmeina eino mishalim ela shmeina, kimo sheizika, the question the Gemara is asking is, if when you eat a high quality part of the field, you only pay a high quality part of the field, which means you pay the equivalent of what you damage. And we don't make a knas on you that you have to pay more. So when you eat a lower quality part of the field, why should we then make a knas on you? Meaning, the way the Ritva explains it, he expands on this a little bit more, is that it's not unfair that sometimes you're going to pay more than you damage. That we have all the time. You have to pay kefel arba v'chamisha. We have dinim in the Torah where you pay more than you actually, than the damage you actually did. That's called a knas, and that's fine. We're okay with, no pun intended, we're okay with having a knas. But when it comes to, well, when it comes to this particular halacha, we see that it's not an across-the-board knas. When you're achal shmeina, you're mishalim shmeina. There's no knas over there. That's the Gemara's question. You want to have a knas, fine, but it at least has to be equal across the board. Over here, it does not seem to be that way. It does, because when you eat shmeina, you're mishalim shmeina. When you eat klusha, you therefore should not have a knas that you have to be mishalim shmeina. So I'm Rav Yidi bar Rav and Hachav Mayaskinan. So to explain Rabbi Shmuel's point of view, kigon sha'acha aruga bein aruga. So the case is you don't know what you ate. You don't know what the animal took. In that case, we have halacha. You have to assume that the animal ate the best, and therefore you pay the value of the best. So in a chinami, it may be that you're paying more than your animal damaged, but you don't know. And because you don't know, you have to pay from the best. You have to be machmir. So frek the Gemara, really? You have to be machmir and dine mamunis? Is that the halacha? Amar Rava, ili adina dechusha achal mishalim chusha. If we knew what he ate, he would pay exactly what he ate, even if it was a very cheap row of food. Hasha d'lo yadina mishalim shmeina, hamotzi mechaver olav araya. Whatever happened to the most basic halacha in safik bedine mamunis, then hamotzi mechaver olav araya, that if you want to get money, bring a raya that you're owed the money. So what kind of halacha is this that Rav Yidi is suggesting? That if you don't know, you'd have to pay the most expensive. So what would Rav Yidi respond to that? And the Gemara is going to suggest a different approach within Rabbi Shmuel, what Rabbi Shmuel is talking about. And it's going to change the whole way of understanding Rabbi Shmuel, that Rabbi Shmuel is not talking about paying more than you actually damaged. The Gemara is about to change our whole approach. But Rav Yidi obviously held this way. So what would Rav Yidi respond to the Taina of Amotzi Mechaver Alafaraya? So the Netziv in Merome Sada explains that the behema has a certain amount of das to look for the best food. So probably, if there was a lot of different quality foods in the field, the behema would find the best one and eat that. Meaning it's more likely that the behema would eat the best than it is that he would eat the worst. Now that on its own would not normally be a svara to be motzi mamon, but over here it's not only an issue of being motzi mamon, but tashlume nizakin is a mitzvah, and in order for a person to fulfill his mitzvah, he'd want to be machmir using this svara, especially backing him up that probably it did eat from the best, so he'd want to go, that svara would be enough that a person should be machmir to fulfill his mitzvah of paying back the nezek. Now Rashi over here says, hamotzi mechavera lavaraya, how do we know this very concept of motzi mechavera lavaraya, more chloristic issue? Rashi says, we learn in that you have to bring a raya if you want to get money. We darshan it from a pasuk, Rashi says. The Rashash is just bothered that if you look at the Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Mem Vav, you will find that the Gemara's maskana over there is that we don't really need this pasuk because it's a svara, right? Man dekayiv lekeiva azal lebeyasya. When you have something that hurts you, you go to the doctor, right? So obviously, if you want money, you're the one that's going to have to go and bring a raya. You're the one that's hurting, that's out the money. You're going to want to go. You're going to have to go and bring the raya. The guy who's holding on to the money isn't hurting; he's fine. So it's a svara. So they all the achronim ask on Rashi. Why does Rashi say that it's a drasha from a pasuk? The askan in Baba Kama is that it's not a drasha from a pasuk; that it's in fact a svara. So the Pnei Yeshua answers that the svara is only when there's no rove or tainas bar against the chazaka. That's when it's a svara. But when there's a rove or a tainas bari against the chazaka, then we actually do need the drasha from the pasuk. Fine, so this Gemara could be talking about one of those cases. So therefore, we do need the drasha from the pasuk. Now the Rishonim also ask over here, is Hamotzi Mechaver or Lavarai really applicable over here? What happened? Let's think about the case. The guy says, you damaged me, my best stuff. So you owe me, what, $200. And the other guy says, no, I know I damaged you. I know my animal ate from your property. But he only ate from the lesser stuff. Maybe he only ate from the lesser stuff. So I only owe you $100. So isn't that a case of modu b'miktsas? So what do you do normally in modu b'miktsas? So you have to take a shvua. But we have a klal mitoch sheni yachli shav. The Gemara shvua says yishalim. When you can't take a shvua, so you pay. Why can't he take shvua? Because he doesn't really know for sure. It's a safek over here. No one knows. So since he can't take a shvua, he should have to pay. So amosi mechaver lavarai shouldn't be in play over here. It should really be mitoch sheni yachli shav mishalim, which would make Ravidi make perfect sense. So how does Rava's kasha on Ravidi that we should apply a motzi mechaver alav araya make any sense over here? So the Pnei Yeshua is mitarets based on Tosos Babakama Memvav. The Tosos Babakama says we only say mitoch shein yachol lishav mishalim when you should have known. Right? Mitoch shein yachol lishav is something that you can't swear to because you don't know, but you should have known it. If it's something that you never should have known in the first place, it wasn't on you to know, so then it's not, we wouldn't say mitoch shein yachol lishav mishalim. So perhaps over here, that's why we don't say mitoch shein yachol lishav mishalim. But back to our Gemara, what we're still trying to find is a pshat in Rabbi Yishmael. What's Rabbi Yishmael talking about when Rabbi Yishmael says that you paid the mate of Sadeh and mate of Karmo shel nizik? What exactly does that mean? So we first assumed it meant that you pay even more than you actually damaged. The Gemara seems to have rejected that approach. So the Gemara is going to give a whole new approach, which is what we assumed in the first place. Alamar of Acha Bar Yaakov, Hacha b'mayaskin, and Gon Shaisa Idis de Nizik is Iburis de Mazik. The case is where the Mazik and the Nizik each have their own properties, and the Mazik has much higher value properties than the Nizik does. The Mazik's worst property is worth the same as the Nizik's best property. So whose best do you pay? If I'm the Mazik, if I pay my worst property, I'm actually paying you what you would consider an Iddis. Everything is relative. I don't consider it an Iddis. For me, it's only a Ziburis. So Rabbi Shmuel suffer bid the Nizik Shaminan, Rabbi Kiva suffer bid the Mazik Shaminan. Rabbi Shmuel holds we evaluate based on the Nizik, and therefore I pay you what is your best property, meaning a Kula. I only pay you from my worst property. And Rabbi Akiva is the one that's being mafmir. Rabbi Akiva says, no, on the Daraisa level, but the Mazik Shemin, we evaluate based on the Mazik, and therefore I pay you what's my best property, even though it's worth so much more than your best property. Tosus asks, why don't you say the opposite? Why don't you say that the case is that the Nizik has much higher value properties than the Mazik does, that the Nizik's worst property equals the Mazik's best property, and frame the machlokas in that way, and then Rabbi Shmuel would be saying b'dinizik shayminan, which would mean the mazik has to up the game a little bit. He's got to go above what he's got, buy a field that's worth as much as the nizik's best field, and pay him with that. That would be a huge chumrah that Rabbi Shmuel would be saying. So Tosfos says you can't say that because we never have such a concept that in order to pay back with fields that you would have to go out and buy a field to pay back with. Adraba, if you have money, pay the money. Right, you would never have such a din that you would go and buy a field to pay back. And to the contrary, the Tosfos says, "Ein lo elo ziburis, kulun gavin min ziburis." If all you got is ziburis, then you pay ziburis. There's no question. That's what you do. You don't go and you buy a higher level field. So clearly, Rabbi Shmuel is coming to be mekel, not to be machmir. Rabbi Shmuel is saying, "Nizik shayminan," in a case where the nizik's fields are worth less than the mazik's fields. And Rabbi Kiva Eger writes over here that according to Rabbi Shmuel, certainly we would evaluate the nechassim that the person has at the time of the nezek. Right? Since Rabbi Shmuel holds we look at the fields of the nizik, you can't evaluate at some later time, at the time of the Hamad Bedin or something like that. Because if I get damaged and I know you're going to have to pay me the equivalent of my best fields, so what's to stop me from buying a super high quality, small piece of very high quality land so that I can raise my level of Iddis, so that you'll have to pay me from a higher level of Iddis. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, it's clear that we evaluate based on the time of the Nezek. Rabbi Kiva Eger's Mesupak, according to Rabbi Akiva, do we evaluate based on the time of the Nezek, based on the time of Amad Bedin? So he leaves that Besafek. Okay, this is what to play with in terms of using Lamdas and Svara for what to go one way or the other. Okay, my time with Rabbi Shmuel. What's the reason for Rabbi Shmuel? Why does Rabbi Shmuel think? What in the Torah gives it away that Rabbi Shmuel thinks, that makes Rabbi Shmuel think that you would evaluate based on the Nizik? So Nemra Sada Lamata and Nemra Sada Lamala. The word Sada appears twice in the Parsha, both when it talks about doing the damage, and when it talks about paying for the damage, right? Pasuk says, ki yaver ish sada okera mishilachas biiro ubir bisdei acher, that's doing the damage. Two words later, metav sadehu umetav karmo yishalim. Right, so the word sada appears two words apart from each other. So just like the word sada, when it talks about doing the damage, masada murla mala de nizik, we're talking about which field are we talking about? Obviously, the nizik's field. That's the one that was damaged. Afsada murla mata de nizik. So to the field that's mentioned at the end is also referring to the nizik's field. Rabbi Akiva, some Rabbi Akiva will say metav sadeu yishalim dehech dekam yishalim. No, Rabbi Akiva just looks at this one phrase, this last phrase in the pasuk, "Meitav sadehu yeshalim," that you pay from the meitav sada. Who's paying? Obviously, the mazik is paying. So we go with the sada of the mazik. So apparently we have two separate drashas, two competing drashas, one only from that last phrase, and one that uses the word sada. For Rabbi Shmuel will say, yeah, ahani gzeira shava, sada, I hold like, that's the gzeira shava, sada, you're going to pay with the nizik. But also, vahani kra, I also hold that your drasha from the pasuk also is applicable and can also be used for a certain cases, and let me explain. Ahani gzeira shava l'chada amran. The gzeira shava is used, as I've explained, for the halacha that I taught, that b'dinizik shayminan. Ahani kra, the pasuk is also valuable, di'i islay l'mazik idis v'ziburis. If a mazik has idis and ziburis, v'ziburis didei, lo shavya ki idis d'nizik, and his ziburis is not quite worth as much as the nizik's idis, the mishalim metav, then he's going to have to pay from his own idis, even though it's worth more than the nizik's idis. Meaning, if he has a field that lines up exactly with the nizik's idis, so Rabbi Shmuel says, I'll be mekel. Let him pay only that field. Let him pay something that lines up with the nizik's idis, even though he, the mazik, has higher level fields. But if he has higher level fields and he doesn't have a field that lines up exactly with the nizik's idis, then he's going to have to pay from one of those higher level fields. So it comes to teach a shtikl chumra that sometimes b'demazik shaymina, sort of. Not really b'demazik shaymina, meaning let's say he has three fields. If he has one field that's worth a little less than the nizik siddis, and two fields that are worth more than the nizik siddis, one that's a little more than the nizik siddis, and one that's a lot more than the nizik siddis, so he wouldn't have to pay his best of the best, right? He would only have to pay the one that's worth a little more than the nizik siddis. But either way, we see that he'll have to overshoot rather than undershoot. And that's what we learn from Meitav Sadeu Yishalim, that in that sense, it's like we're shaman b'demazik. And Rabbi Akiva, so one second, so the Gemara never addresses, the Gemara does address what Rabbi Shmuel does with Rabbi Akiva's drasha. The Gemara never addresses what Rabbi Akiva does with Rabbi Yishmael's drasha, with the Gzer Shava of Sada Sada. So it could be that he just doesn't hold of it, he thinks that it's more logical to just go with that last phrase in the pasuk, but the fact that the Gemara refers to it as a gzer shava, which isn't 100% clear, not all the Rishonim take that literally, meaning, is this a gzer shava within one pasuk, two words apart from each other? You really need it to be a gzer shava, it's not just a hekesh or something. This is mamish a gzer shava. So, but the Gemara refers to it as a gzer shava. If it's a gzer shava, you don't really need to answer for Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara could just simply say that Rabbi Akiva was not mekabel that gzer shava mirabo, as we know that a person is ain't of them done gzer shava me'atzmo. So Rabbi Akiva didn't have such a gzer shava, so that's why he doesn't have to answer to Rabbi Shmuel. If you hold it's not a gzer shava, it's a hekish, so then you need to figure out what Rabbi Akiva would answer. But again, Pashas is the Gemara calls it a gzer shava. Pashas is it's a gzer shava. Rabbi Akiva omer lo ba kasav el ligvos lenizakin mina idis v'kavachomer lahekdish. Right. So the phrase Rabbi Akiva used in the brisa was that the pasuk is coming to teach me that you collect damages from the idis, and certainly the same is true for hekdish. So my kavachomer lahekdish. What does that mean? Certainly the same is true for hekdish. What exactly is the case where we say kavachomer lahekdish? The Gemara is going to have a number of suggestions, at least three suggestions I count. So suggestion number one. If the case is that an individual's ox gored the ox of Hegdish, well, Hegdish is removed from the normal parsha of Nezikin. So this shouldn't that shouldn't be the halacha. You can't say kal v'chomer l'Hegdish. We have a special drasha that the damages that are normally paid by Nezikin is only when your ox gores shore'ehu, another person's ox, not when it gores the ox of Hegdish. So Ella, possibility number two, Liomer Hare Alai Mane Lebedek Abayis. When a person says that he is mekabel upon himself to pay a certain amount for Bedek Abayis, the Asi Gizbar B'Shakal Me'idis, where the Gizbar comes and takes from the Iddis. When the Gizbar comes and it's collection time, he collects from the Iddis. Maybe that's what Rabbi Akiva is saying. Lo yehe al balchov, balchov dino kebeninis. But frankly, Gemara, but wait a second. Why should he be any different than a regular balchov? And a regular balchov collects from the beninis, does not collect from the Iddis. The chitema kasav Rabbi Akiva balchov shakal the Iddis kinizakin. Maybe you'll say Rabbi Akiva holds that a balchov also collects from the Iddis. Ikal mifrach mal balchov shekin yafa kocha benizakin. Tamar behegdish kein hura kocha benizakin. So then you could ask that there's a difference between a regular balchov and hegdish, that a balchov has a special koch when it comes to nizakin, when it comes to damages that he gets, that even by nizakin he gets from the iddis. So can you then apply a kal v'chomer to hegdish, which doesn't have this the same yifoy koach? So says the Gemara. So liolam, third possibility. Dinachei tura didan l'tura dehegdish. Meaning the balchov. Just to be clear, the balchov's yafa koach benizakin means that by a balchov, when his chaver damages him, he has to pay. Whereas by hegdish, we had the drasha sharei eyu velo shar shel hegdish. So balchov, you can't make kavachomer if I have to pay X amount for balchov. Kavachomer, I'm gonna have to pay this X amount for hegdish as well. You can't make such a kavachomer because balchov, by definition, has more payments than hegdish does. Meaning balchov reflects a deal between two individuals. When you're dealing with two individuals, there's going to be a higher payment than when you're dealing. There are chumras that are involved when you have two individuals that you don't have when you're dealing with an individual versus hegdish, such as nezikin. So you can't learn any kavachomers. If you're going to learn a kavachomer, it's got to go in the other direction, right? Because the dealing with two individuals has all the chumras, not the kulas. So says Gemara, possibility number three. The case is that your ox scored an ox shel hegdish. Rabbi Akiva Savrla, so what was our problem with saying that? We originally suggested that our ox scored the ox shel hegdish, but we said, no, the drasha and the pasuk says that that's not part of the zikin. So Rabbi Akiva Savrla, Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh. Rabbi Akiva maybe holds like Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh. The Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, Omer, Shor shel hegdish, Shenogach, Shor shel hegdish, if an ox shel hegdish gores a regular person's ox, potter, then he's going to be potter. But for shel hegdish, Shenogach, Shor shel hegdish, Bein tam, bein mu'ad, mishalim, nezek shalim. When we exclude him from, when we say shorei ehu, and we exclude him from paying normal damages, that's not a kula, where he's not going to have to pay anything when you gore a shor shel hegdish. Adraba, that's a chumra. That means your ox scores a shor shel hegdish, you're going to have to be more machmir. You're going to have to pay nezek shalim, even if your ox was only a shor tam, which is not normally the halacha. Normally you would only pay chatzi nezek if your ox was a shor tam. But you have to pay nezek shalim. So that's what Rabbi Akiva holds. Ihachi, if that's the case, mi might be idis de nizik kiziburis de mazik pligi. Well, wait a second. If that's the case, if Rabbi Akiva holds, if what Rabbi Akiva is being mechadesh, is that by hegdish, when your ox scores an actual hegdish, you pay full, right? And you're always going to pay full. So if that's the main chiddush, and you pay full mina idis, if that's the main chiddush of Rabbi Akiva, how do we know that the Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel are also arguing about what the definition of iddis is? Meaning our original suggestion, our original assumption was that the main machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel is how do you define iddis? That Rabbi Shmuel defines iddis by iddis to nizik, and Rabbi Akiva defines iddis as iddis to mazik. And by the way, Rabbi Akiva adds in this line, kal v'chomer lahegdish. But once you say that Rabbi Akiva is veering significantly from Rabbi Yishmael in terms of what the halacha is when you damage hegdish, how do you know they're also arguing about? Rabbi Akiva never says the words that we evaluate iddis demazik. He never says it in the Braisa. Rabbi Yishmael says that the lashon of the Braisa was, where is it? The lashon of the Braisa was that meitav steir, meitav karma yishalim, meitav steir shall nizik, meitav karma shall nizik, to Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel was clear that it's shall nizik. Rabbi Akiva's only words are, lo ba kosav elo ligvos l'nizakin mina iddis. You collect from iddis. He doesn't say iddis to mazik.
And then he throws in Mekal v'chomer l'hegdish. Maybe Rabbi Akiva's whole machlokas is only on the hegdish point. And he's not arguing on the definition of iddis. Yehachim, he might be iddis to nizik as he burst the mazik pligi. How do you know that the case of machlokas is when the nizik's best property equals the mazik's worst property, where Rabbi Akiva supposedly is machmir and makes you pay from your own best property rather than from the other guy's, from the damagee's best property? So maybe Dumal the Kulialma, but the Nizik Shamin, maybe everyone would agree that if my Ziburis, my the Mazik Ziburis equals the guy I damaged, the Nizik's Idis, I would only have to pay for my Ziburis. The whole machlokas Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Shmuel is the machlokas Rabbi Shimon ben Asi and the Rabbanon. What happens when my ox scores an ox shel hegdish? That's the whole machlokas. The Rabbi Akiva sover like Rabbi Shimon ben Asi, Rabbi Shmuel sover like Rabbanon. Period. The Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Shimon ben Asi, Rabbi Shmuel holds like the Rabbanon. So says the Gemara, no, you can't say that way. That can't be the machlokas, because in Cain, my lo ba hakasav, if they're only arguing on the discussion of Hegdish, what's the loba kasuv? Look at Rashi. Im kain de lo palagale de resha, my loba kasuv the kamer de mashma loba lekach el lekach. Meaning loba kasuv sounds like he's rejecting something Rabbi Shmuel just said. Now Rabbi Shmuel was only talking about bidemazik shemina. So loba kasuv ella comes to say that no, your pshat and pasuk is wrong. Meitav doesn't mean that. So that only fits if they're actually arguing on what the definition of meitav is, what the definition of iddis is. Va'od, my kal v'chomer lahegdish. Also, how does the phrase kal v'chomer lahegdish? Meaning, if in fact Rabbi Akiva holds that the kula point of view, right? He holds that he holds this tremendous kula that b'demazik shayminan. So why would you say kal v'chomer lahegdish? As if we're machmir in this case, then for sure we'll be machmir in the case of hegdish. We're not machmir over here. We're makil over here. So it should be that we're makil by hegdish, and that doesn't make sense. That if we're makil over here, we're for sure going to be makil by hegdish. So the kal v'chomer lahegdish doesn't make any sense. If you look at Tosos, Tosos quotes Rashi, which is just what I said outside. Pirush bekuntras hol mina idus to come Rabbi Akiva an nizikai. Since Rabbi Akiva says that the idus that we're talking about is the nizik's idus ula akuleyasa, and he's coming to be mekel diavle mazik miziburis, where the mazik is able to give him from the ziburis. If that's Rabbi Akiva holds, im kein my kavuchom legdish. What do you mean kavuchom legdish? Griusahu. It's a kula. It's not a chumra. The kasha, the mikal makom mitzvah kal v'chomer, the mishal mimate of the nizik, the lo miziburis the nizik. But maybe the kal v'chomer is just coming to tell me that yes, Rabbi Akiva holds a makel point of view, but not the most makel possible point of view. Meaning, you could have suggested something even more makel. You could have suggested that I pay from the nizik's worst properties. Rabbi Akiva is saying, true, to say that I pay from the nizik's best rather than from the mazik's best is a kula. But theoretically, one could have said, I pay from the Nizik's worst. And maybe that's the kal v'chomer lahegdish. That we have a shtickle chumra over here, a little bit of a chumra, namely that I'm paying from the Nizik's best. So kal v'chomer lahegdish, I should at least have to do that. So Tosa says that can't be the pshat in the Gemara's kasha. V'nir da'achi pirusha, my kal v'chomer lahegdish, d'le'inyin l'chiyuve mazik behegdish, lo ka'amar, da'amere'ehu nafka garash Rabbi Shimon Menasya, el'inyin meitav ka'amar, Rabbi Akiva's, the main point, Rabbi Shmuel never focused on hegdish at all. He was discussing the din of meitav. V'lo havele l'Rabbi Akiva l'adur l'Rabbi Shmuel kal v'chomer, kimish Rabbi Shmuel atzmo ha'yamod b'kach, ilav mishum d'patalei l'gamri. Meaning, in terms of what the definition of meitav is, Rabbi Shmuel doesn't disagree. Don't tell Rabbi Shmuel, look, if you hold this, then kal v'chomer l'hegdish. They agree on a certain point. So Rabbi Shmuel only veers from Rabbi Akiva in terms of whether you have to pay hegdish at all, according to what we're saying now, whether there's any payment toward hegdish. So it's a poorly phrased question if that's their only point of dispute. If their only point of dispute is about hegdish, you don't say, well, look, if you hold this, then kal v'chomer lahegdish. No, their only point of dispute is by hegdish, and he would agree to Rabbi Akiva if he agreed about that fundamental point of whether Shareihu comes to exclude paying Shor Shalagdish anything, or it means that you pay Shor Shalagdish everything. The main reason I wanted to see this Tosus is the last line of Tosus, though. Farav Rabbeinu Shlomo Meir Dosh Tiretz, Dachi Perusho. Maikal v'chomer lehegdish deshaiminun be'idis denizik v'lo be'demazik. Mi yadinan idis tehegdish, shami yesh lehegdish idis besofa olam tova she'in kamoa. Meaning, if you're going to say that you're paying the idis denizik, how does that apply to hegdish? How can you possibly pay hegdish with their idis? Do you even know what their idis is? Anybody could have given stuff to hegdish. Hegdish from properties all over the world. How are you going to know? There's not no, and you can't even have the Achronim point. You can't even have like a master list of all of hegdish's properties that hegdish that the gizbar keeps in control of, because the Gemara in Kiddushin says when we pass in this way, amirasul gvah kamisirasul hegdish. Hegdish didn't have to do any form of kinyan to acquire their properties. For all they know, 10 people in America somewhere were just makdish properties. So hegdish could own things they're not even aware of. So it doesn't even make sense to talk about paying from the idus of the nizik when the damagee is hegdish. That's the kasha. My kal v'chomer hegdish. Va'od ha'amar Rav Ashi. Also Rav Ashi says Tanya behedya metav sedeu metav karma yishalim metav sedeu shal nizik metav karma shal nizik. Div Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva amar metav sedeu shal mazik metav karma shal mazik. And in the strongest point that we know Rabbi Akiva argues on how we define idus, whether it's idus to nizik or idus to mazik, is that we have another brisa that says it beferish, that whereas our brisa never had Rabbi Akiva saying beferish that it's the idis to mazik, we have another brisa where Rabbi Akiva does say beferish that it's the idis to mazik. So we see clearly that that's the machloka. So that's obviously a slam dunk, right? That's no question about it. Rabbi Akiva holds mate of the mazik. Ravina amar liolamas. So again, we started all this with a question. The question was, how come our Mishnah says that when you pay from the idis for damages, that it's only tikkun olam? That's a din d'oraisa of mate of sadeu. Answer number one was, on a d'oraisa level, Rabbi Shmuel would say, you would only pay the meitav of the nizik. The tikkun olam is that you pay the meitav of the mazik. So the Gemara is now going to give a second answer. Ravina amar liolam asnis and Rabbi Akiva hi. Our Mishnah could even be going like Rabbi Akiva, who holds that on a d'oraisa level, you pay the meitav of the mazik. Dar mi d'oraisa bid mazik shaminan. V'Rabbi Shimon hi, the d'orish time of the kra. But our Mishnah reflects the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, who's d'orish time of the kra. Umatam ka'amar. The Mishnah is trying to give the reason. Meaning, the tikkun olam is the reason for the din d'oraisa. Matam anizak and shamanlein be'idis. Why do we evaluate the nizakin to pay? Why is it that the nizakin always pays from the idis? Because of tikkun olam, that it's a tikkun olam to always pay from the most valuable. The Tanya, Amar, by the way, just in terms of this darish time of the krav, very important Tosus over here. Tosus over here says that lo pligi lehechadika nafkusa kigon gabi chovel begin alma. The I guess. What's the girsa over here? Gabi chovel, no girsa. Beged almana v'gabi lo yarbe lo nashim v'hachinami mishum hay time shaminim b'demazik. Meaning the machlokas, whether we're dorish time of the crow or not dorish time of the crow, is only when there's a nafkamina la halacha. That's where Rabbi Shimon has this amazing chiddush that we're dorish time of the krah, even if it means that we're going to change the halacha based on the time of the krah, based on the reasoning for a particular pasuk. But when there's no nafkamina la halacha, it's just a matter of understanding things, so then everyone agrees we're dorish time of the krah. In order to understand the halacha better, in order to try to make a mitzvah make a little more sense to us, then there's no question we're allowed to try to be dorish time of the krah, try to figure out the logic in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wisdom. Right? That's what the Sefer HaChinuch does on every single mitzvah. So that there's no question that you're allowed to do that. So anyway, so the Tanya, Am Rabbi Shimon, where do we see this discussion? Rabbi Shimon says, why is it that when it comes to damage, you always pay back from the idis properties? Because of the ganavim out there, because of the thieves out there. Because people are going to say, you know, people who might otherwise steal, this will be a major deterrent for them. They're going to say, is it really worth it for me to go steal? I'm going to go steal something now, but then tomorrow, Bezin's going to come and they're going to take away my field, and not just any field, they're going to take away my best fields. so I'm going to be in a much worse position if I steal than if I wouldn't have stolen. So they know what it says in the Torah that Beis Din will take away the best, so this serves as a deterrent for them. That's why they said that you should always pay the iddis. Now the phrasing over here, mipnei ma amru, lefichach amru, sounds like it's a din d'rabbanan, but we're trying to explain that really it's a din d'oraisa of meitav, right? So meaning it's unclear from the Gemara. From our gears of the Gemara, it makes it sound like almost enachinami, it's you could have interpreted meitav in some other way, but it's a d'rabbanan interpreting meitav in a way that they would like to because of this concern. But it's pashtus is that's not what the Gemara is trying to do over here. The pashtus I would imagine is I thought that the Gemara is trying to say no, it is a din d'oraisa. We're trying to figure out why the Torah Hakadosh Baruch Hu in His infinite wisdom, why Hakadosh Baruch Hu determined that you should pay for meitav. But meitav certainly does mean you pay from the best field. You pay from the iddis of the mazik. So so it happens to be the girsa of the Rif and the Rush is not mipnei ma amru but mipnei ma amra Torah. That which obviously would make a lot of sense over here. The Ktsos in Simin Kuf Beis, if I could read my own handwriting, writes that Midal Raisa Abal Chov Pays Biziburis, and the Lashon, because the Gemara is going to use the very next line, Mipnei Ma Amru Bal Chov Bebeninis, and also that's where the Rif and the Rush have the gear, so Mipnei Ma Amra Torah. So the Ksos says on the Doraisa level, Balchov pays Biziburis, and the Lashon, even if you have Mepnei Ma'amra Torah as your Girsa, the Lashon Mepnei Ma'amra Torah is not a Raya that something's Doraisa. Mepnei Ma'amra Torah sometimes is the Rabbanan's reflection of the Ratzon HaTorah, even though it's not an actual Din Doraisa. He has support for this in the Ramban in the first Shoresh, but if you look in Tosos Meseches Menachos and Daf Samachayim and Beis, Tosos says pretty clearly that the Lashon of Amra Torah, not only does it relate to a Din D'oraisa, the Lashon of Amra Torah is a Lashon that you have only by a Dover Shat Tzedukin Modimbo. It's only by something that's so mefurash in the Torah that even the Tzedukin are Modim, the Tzedukin who aren't Modim the Torah Sheval Peh and don't agree with the Yugim Rido Shat Torah and Dresh, that even they are Modim to it. So Mibnei Ma'amra Torah cannot refer to a Din D'Rabbanan, can't even refer to a less clear or less obvious din d'oraisa. Right, let's see the Gemara Vayitim. Ma'am Rubal Chov beBeinonis. Why is it that a Bal Chov collects from Beinonis? Kadesh lo yira adam v'chaver osad na'a v'dira na'a. A person shouldn't see, hey, my friend has such a nice field, such a nice home. V'yomar ekvot svalvenu kadesh agvenu b'chovi. Let me lend him a lot of money because I know he's irresponsible with money sometimes. So I'll go and I'll lend him a lot of money. He's going to lose all of it. He'll take it to Vegas. He'll lose every last bit of it. And then I'll be able to take his house. I really want his house. He's not interested in selling it. So this way, I'll be able to get it back this way. That's why I say, no, if he has something really nice, you're not going to get that anyway. You're only going to get his Beninus property anyway. But if that's the case, why don't you have the Balchov collect from the Ziburis? Because then no one's ever going to want to lend somebody money. There's a mitzvah in the Torah. Somebody needs money, you're supposed to lend the money. So if I know that I'm only going to be able to collect from Ziburis, it's obviously going to be a major deterrent. I'm not going to want to lend anybody money. Ksubas Isha, you collect from Ziburis. That's Rabbi Yehuda's point of view. Rabbi Meir Amar Beinus. Rabbi Meir says you collect Ksubas Isha from Beinus. Am Rabbi Shimon Neimah Amar Ksubas Isha b'Ziburis. Why is it that a Ksubas Isha, that a woman only collects her Ksuba from the lowest level properties? She Yosim Masha Ish Rotsa Lisa Ha'isha Rotsa Li Nasei. More than a man wants to get married, a woman wants to get married. So she doesn't need that much encouragement to get married. It's not like lending money where you're going to say that if I only let the guy collect from the lower level properties, not going to lend money. A woman's going to get married even if she can only collect from the lower level properties. Davaracher, Isha Yotza L'Ritzona V'Shalo L'Ritzona, a woman can get divorced willingly or against her will, V'Isha Enemotzia L'Ritzono, but a man can only divorce a woman if he wants to. There's no such thing as Gerishin Bal Karcho de Bal Karcho of the husband. So my Davaracher, what's the Davaracher over here? The Chite Mekiechi Dechi Mapikla Ihu Takim If you'll say, well, if assuming ksuba is rabbanan, just like when he divorces her, he has to pay her a ksuba, why don't we say that when she divorces him, she should have to pay him a ksuba? So tashma, isha yotza l'ritzona, v'shalo l'ritzona. That a woman goes out, l'ritzona, v'shalo l'ritzona, v'isha nimotzi l'ritzona. There is no forcing him. He only gets divorced when it's l'ritzona. Efsha demashi l'abigita, he can hold back her, he can withhold her get. He can make her naguna, hold back, hold on to her get. So since he has that legal power, so it doesn't make sense to say that there's some sort of penalty for the woman divorcing the husband. The woman can't divorce the husband. The husband has to divorce the wife. Now, Rabbeinu Tam, quoting Tosfos Maseches Ksuba Samach Gimel and Beis, brings this Gemara as a raya that if a woman says, I refuse to have tashmish with my husband, and they say, why? And she says, well, ma'is alai baili, I find him disgusting, I find him repulsive, I can't go near the guy, and therefore I'm not going to have tashmish with him, that we don't force the husband to divorce her, because if we would force him to divorce her, then our Gemara is saying, if we ever had the ability to force the husband to divorce the wife, so then, meaning based on her forcing him, so then we would be misakin iksuba for her to pay him. But the Gemara says, we never do that. You can't force the husband to divorce the wife ever, even if she says efshi. The Rambam in Hilchos Yishus, Perek Yudal, Halacha Ches, holds that in this case we are kofin, that we would force him. Shulchan Aruch in Eben Ezra, Siman Ayin Zayin, Sifei, paskins like the Rashba and Rabbeinu Tam, paskins against the Rambam, that we cannot force, based on a raya, as we said, from this Gemara. Ksubas Yishub Iziburis, Amar Zuch Breit Rav Nachman, Lo Amar Nele Miyasmi, when we say that a woman collects her ksuba only from the lowest level fields, that's only if she's collecting from Yisomim. Avol minei didei bebeinis. But if she's collecting from her husband, if he divorced her, he didn't die, he divorced her, and she's collecting ksuba, she can collect from the beinis. Miyasmi mayir ksuba sisha, afilu kol mili nabi, datanayin from Yisomim Yisburus. Wait a second, if the whole din of ksuba sisha min Yisburus is only when she's collecting from Yisomim, isn't that the halacha when you're collecting anything from Yisomim, that it's from Yisburus? What's special about ksuba sisha then? Anytime you collect anything from Yisomim, it's always from Ziburis. Elalav minei. So it must mean that Ksubas Isha is from Ziburis, even when you collect directly from the husband. So it says, no, maybe we could still make it make sense. Liola miyasmi. Uksubas Isha tzrichle. Really, maybe you only collect from Ziburis if it's from the Yisomim. And the reason why there's a chiddush by Ksubas Isha is because Salkatai Techamina, Mishamchina, Kil Rabbanu Gaba, Kamashwalan. I might have thought that because of Chain, the Rabbanu are going to be makel with her and allow her to collect even from Yisomim from better than Ziburis. No, you're collecting from Yisomim, you only collect from Ziburis, I don't care who you are, even if you're collecting Ksubas Isha. What's the Chain? So as we mentioned previously, this is Machlokas Rashi Tosos. Rashi says, the Chain is, to encourage women to want to get married, that women will be more encouraged to want to get married if they know that they can collect the Ksubas Isha from better than Ziburis, from a Beinanis at least. And Tosos says, no, that can't be Pshat, because like we just said a few lines ago in the Gemara, the woman always wants to get married. She doesn't need encouragement to get married. You have all these concepts where a woman is doesn't take much convincing to get married. A man needs to be convinced. So he says, no, pshat is mishum chayin, so that other men, future prospects, other men will want to marry her if she has higher quality fields to bring into the marriage. So that's why I might have thought that Ksubas Isha, even when she's collecting from Yisomim, can collect from better than Ziburis, can collect from the Beinanis. Amar Rava, Toshima, Ramei Ramei. So again, we're trying to bring rayas now to whether this is true, that the idea that Ksubas Isha is min Ziburis is only when you're collecting from Yisomim, but not when you're collecting from the guy himself, or is it even true that Ksubas Isha min Ziburis when you collect from the guy himself? So Toshima, Ramei Ramei, Ksubas Isha Beinanis Miman, Ilim, and Miyasmi, if you're collecting from Yisomim, let's say that Ramei had done in from Yisomim, Elim, and Ziburis. What, Ramei doesn't hold that you only collect from Ziburis when you're collecting from Yisomim? Elav minei. So it must be you're collecting from him. Machal the Rabbanan Savri b'Ziburis. So Rameir's point of view is that you're collecting from Beinanis. When Rameir says, no, I hold it's Beinanis, he's clearly talking about collecting from the guy, from the husband himself. So when the Rabbanan say you collect from Ziburis, they're also talking about when you collect from the husband himself. Lo, Liolami asks, maybe Shanik Subasish Mishumchina. No, maybe he's talking about collecting from the Yisomim. And Rameir holds, even when you collect from the Yisomim, you don't collect from Ziburis because of Chain. Rameir actually holds that, not just as a Havamina. And the Rabbanan hold that, no, that you collect from Ziburis even when you're collecting from Yisomim. Only when you're collecting from Yisomim, but not when you're collecting from the guy. Amar Abaye Toshma, another Raya, and Nizak and Shamlan, this Balchov, Benis, Subasish Biziburis. We line it up, three Alachos, Nizak and Miman, who are you collecting from? Ile Mamiyasmi Mayuk Subasisha, if you look kol haninami. If we're talking about collecting from Yisomim, the Balchov and the Nizakan are also from Ziburis. El lav minei. So don't you see it's arrived from there that you're collecting from him directly? Am Ravacha bar Yaakov, Vacha Mayaskin, Gon Shnasa Arev, Liniske Beno, Labalchov Beno, Luxubis Kalas. Another case is over here where you became a co-signer for your son's Nizikin, for his Balchov, for the money that he owes, and for his wife's Ksuba. Vahaiki Dine, Vahaiki Dine, Nizakan Balchov, Dimichayim, Gavu Ihu, Gavu, Ihunami, Kimagvi, Kimichayim Magvi. So since a Balchov and Nizakin, you can collect from the son when he's alive, so when the son is dead, you collect from the co-signer, the father, Ki'ilu, the son was alive. The same property that you would collect. You're not collecting from your son, you're collecting from the father. But Ksubasisha, Lachar Misa Gavi, Lachar Misa Man Gavi, Miasmi, but Ksubasisha, which is meant to be paid after the guy dies, so Iunami Ki Magvi, Kalachar Misa Magvi. So when you collect the Ksubasisha even from the father, you collect it as if you were collecting it after the guy died, as if you would be collecting it from the Yisamim.